Acts chapter 8. This is a familiar story to nearly everyone in here. Story of a man of Ethiopia called a eunuch. And this man had come to Jerusalem to worship. He was obviously a true seeker, says he came to worship. Although he really didn't know the true way to worship, he heard that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, true God, was found in Jerusalem. Somebody told him that you have to have a high priest and a tabernacle and a sacrifice, and so he went where it was. He come to the right place. And it says, verse 28, he was returning after it was all over. He was going home and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. He had a Bible. That tells me he was interested. He'd come to Jerusalem, the place to come, and he was seeking, wanted to worship. And he was going home and he was reading his Bible. Now, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It does. But Paul also said in that chapter, how shall they hear without a preacher? So this fellow was reading. That's a good thing to do. He's reading a good place. Isaiah 53. He couldn't have read a better chapter. But he didn't know what it was all about. Or rather, who. And he said, look at verse 29, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, said to Philip, Spirit of God called the preacher and sent him to a particular fellow who needed to hear the gospel. And he said, go join yourself to this chariot. Philip ran thither to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. I'm reading verse 30 here. If you're looking at your Bible, look at it. Philip heard him reading. The fellow was reading out loud. He was sincere, wasn't he? Reading out loud. Isaiah 53. And Philip said to him, this is Philip the deacon. Just a plain old ordinary deacon. And Philip said to him, understandest thou what thou readest? Do you understand what you're reading? Philip, I can see this picture. This is, his chariot was going along, and Philip was running alongside the chariot. Philip was reading out loud Isaiah 53, and Philip hollered and said, do you understand what you're reading? And verse 31, and the eunuch said, how can I, except some man should guide me? I need somebody to help me. Would you help me? Stop the chariot, he said to his driver. And he desired, said, Philip, what's your name? Philip, well, my name's eunuch. Would you come up here and help me to understand what this is saying? I'd be delighted to. That's why I'm here. So Philip got up in the chariot with him. Now, look at it. The place of the Scripture, verse 32. The place of the Scripture which he read was this, Isaiah 53. We read it a moment ago. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and on it goes. And the eunuch, verse 34, skip down there. The eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, would you please tell me, of whom speaketh the prophet? Of himself or of some other man? That's a good question, isn't it? You want to know whom? You'll know who. Salvation is in a whom the prophet speaks. And I want you to... So Philip began, verse 35. It says, Philip, verse 35, opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him, Jesus, the man. All right, go back to Isaiah 53 now. Let's go back there. Now, Philip just didn't merely preach from those few verses that was quoted there in Acts chapter 8. Philip preached the whole chapter, Isaiah 53. All right, hold Acts now. We're going to come back in a little bit and turn to Isaiah 53. You got it? All right, it says in verse 1, here's how Philip began. He began with verse 1. Who hath believed our report? The testimony, the record. Mr. Eunuch, myself, and there's some other fellows called apostles. There's one named Peter and Andrew and James and John and on, Bartholomew. We're going all over, and there's deacons like myself. We're going all over the world preaching, telling everybody about somebody. A report. We're giving the report. I've got a report. And I'm looking for believers. I'm looking for someone who believes this, the doctrine, the record of God's Word. And what it's about is about God's Son sent to earth. You've heard of this Jesus of Nazareth? Well, that's none other than God Almighty come to earth. That's who He is. But not everybody believes this report. God said it from heaven. This is my Son. And Jesus Christ Himself said, my sheep, they'll hear my voice. They'll believe the report. And He said, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He said, you know, Mr. Eunuch, but everybody doesn't believe it because it's a revelation. It has to be revealed to you. God's not trying to get everybody to believe, no, but He reveals His Son to some people, His people, His church. He said He had a people. That's who I'm looking for. I'm looking for His sheep. In verse 2, He goes on. And the Son of God, the Lord Jesus of Nazareth, came. He grew up before God as a tender plant. You see, He became a man. Grew up as a boy. He's born of a woman. A virgin woman. He had to be. Because in man is the seed of sin. Well, He was born without a man. That makes Him the holy Son of God. Without sin. He's born of a virgin. You've heard the story, I'm sure, that He's born of a virgin. Not everybody believes it, but He had to be. He was. Ask Mary. Ask the other. Ask the wise men. Well, He grew up as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He came, He grew up in a born in Bethlehem, of which the Scripture says the Christ shall be. He's born, He's raised in Nazareth. Then He went over to Egypt, just dry, barren wilderness ground. Oh, a root. He's the root of David, you see. This is the cry, the root of David, a root out of dry ground. But He didn't have any form or comeliness. He wasn't pretty to look at. When we see Him, there's no beauty that we should desire Him. He looked like an ordinary man. He dressed like an ordinary man. He didn't talk like an ordinary man. But He looked like an ordinary man. He's just a Jew. And nobody saw anything special in Him. But He was God.
We didn't see anything special in it
until he revealed it unto us. Until he peeled James, Peter, and John went up on the mountain one day with her, and he peeled back his flesh, and they saw God, a consuming fire, and heard God say, "This is my son, Mr. Eunuch. This Jesus of Nazareth, though he just looked like a common man, just though he looked like a root out of dry ground, oh, he's the tree of life. Oh, he was despised." Look at it, verse 3. "He was despised and rejected." Is despised and rejected. He still is. "Despised and rejected of men." Oh, men turn thumbs down on him. God turned thumbs up. You see, it's not whom men approve of, it's who God approves of. And the same goes for us. Only if God approves of this man will we be approved of. Or else God has turned thumbs down on us. Men turned thumbs down on us. They despised and rejected him. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And everybody, us included, hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised as not worthy of our recognition. We esteemed him not. He's nobody special. But you see, the thing that men despised about him, the thing that men rejected and disesteemed about him, was his doctrine. That's what he said. He came down here and he said that he told everyone that heard him that man needed saving. That man was under the condemnation of God already. That man was in darkness. And he said he was the light. He said man needed saving. He said, and all power and authority was given into his hands. All judgment was given unto him. This man, Jesus, you've heard of him. He said that God Almighty was his Father and he'd come down from above. He said he wasn't from down here. He said he's from above. And he said, if you don't believe I am, you'll die in your sins. And that's what men hated about him. He said he came to give eternal life to as many as God had given him. He said he's the one who decided who got eternal life or not. That's what men and women hated about him and despised and rejected about him. He said he was the only way, the only truth, and the only life. And that nobody was going to get to God but by him. And so men hated him, despised him, and rejected him. They didn't like what he said. And so they took him, and they took him to a kangaroo court. You know the story. This thing wasn't done in a corner. You've heard the story. He was taken to a kangaroo court by the Romans and the Jewish leaders, the religious leaders, and they crucified him. You know the story. They crucified him. They took him and nailed him to a tree. But you know what? He'd been saying that all along. He'd been saying that's what's going to happen to him. He told all his disciples long before it ever happened. He said he must suffer. Why, he foretold his death, the very day, everything that would happen to him long before it happened. He said he would be taken into the hands of wicked men and suffer many things and die. And the third day, he'd come out of that grave. You heard about this? Why? Why did he do all this? Who was he? Why was he here? What was he doing? Do you know? Mr. Eunuch said, No. Well, I'll tell you why. Look at verse 4 and 5. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrow. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. You see, man is guilty, 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 condemned by God. Guilty. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that doeth good. They've all gone astray. They've all together become filthy, God says. The soul that sinneth must surely die. He didn't have any sin. He didn't have to die. He wasn't guilty. He was innocent. But I was, and you are. So God sent His Son down here as a substitute, Mr. Eunuch. A substitute. You know a substitute? You know when they play ball in Rome, don't you? There's a fella in there, and he ain't getting the job done, and the coach jerks him out and sends in a substitute, one in his place. Jesus Christ came down here in my place. Condemned, He stood. In my place. I wasn't fulfilling the law of God. You're not fulfilling the law of God. None fulfilling the law of God. Jesus Christ came and fulfilled the law of God perfectly. He was doing it for me. But wait a minute now. God's holy. God said you're going to have to die. I deserve to die. You deserve to die, Mr. Eunuch. Miss Eunuch. You deserve to die. God doesn't love everybody and smile on them. God's angry with the wicked every day. And our only hope is that you've got a substitute. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was laid on Him. He took my whipping. He took my whipping. And the whipping of every single believer, every one that God gave to him to take in their whipping. Mr. Eunuch, He took their whipping. He took what they had coming to them, and they took what He had coming to Him. Substitution. And satisfaction. But I'll get to that in a minute. Substitute. You believe that? That's a report. Hey, Mr. Eunuch. Are you listening? See, with His stripes we're healed. Blood. We all, like sheep, see, have gone astray. Gone astray. We've turned every side, one to his own way. Oh, there's a way that seems right to man, but the end is death and destruction. If God leaves you alone, Mr. Yenny, if He left me alone, we'd have gone the broad road that this whole world's going down. And the end is death and destruction, and getting what they deserve. God's going to burn this planet up because they deserve it. Me too. Unless He did this for me. Unless I got a substitute, you see. The Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Laid the whole burden on Him of our sins. Made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And look at it, verse 7. He was oppressed and He was afflicted, but He opened not His mouth. Brought as a lamb to the slaughter, His sheep before her shearers is dumb, so He opened not His mouth. Did you hear the story of how that when Jesus of Nazareth was in the hall of Pilate, and Pilate was laying all these things to His charge, and all of the Jewish religious leaders were laying all these things at His charge, and He was innocent of all the charges. He hadn't done any of these things. But everybody was falsely accusing Him of all these things. And you know what? He never denied one of them. He never stood up and defended. He never spoke a word. He didn't say a thing. He didn't open His mouth. Why? Because He was me, Mr. Yenny. And if you believe, He was you. You're guilty. And every charge that can be brought against you is brought against you by the law, by the world, by Satan, by sin, myself is brought against you. And if you're guilty, you can't say a thing. Guilty is all you can say. Well, He my substitute, taking it all, laid on Him the iniquity of us all. That was me standing there. I should have been crucified.
And then they took him and put him in prison, verse 8. He's a lamb. He's a lamb, Mr. Unit. You hear a fellow named John the Baptist preaching about the Lamb of God? You went to Jerusalem just now. Were they sacrificing any lamb? The blood being shed? This is God's Lamb. The only one there is that actually put away the sins of a human being. All that, it's not possible that the blood of those lambs would put away sin. But this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sin forever, put it away.
Put it away completely. All that he died for.
Verse 8, they took him, put him in prison, took him from judgment, from the judgment seat. Pilate's Paul, Herod and Pontius Pilate, and all of them were gathered together. And he was killed. He was cut off from the land of the living. Why? His name is Jesus. Do you know what that means? God gave him that name. Mary didn't give his biological mother didn't give it to him. Joseph didn't give it to him. The angels announced it long before he was born. And he said, call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save my people from their sins. The transgression of my people
was he stricken. He died for God's people.
In verse 9, he made his grave with the wicked. There were two thieves. When he was being crucified, there were two thieves, murderers, one on each side of him. Bless God, one of them. They both cussing him. Neither one of them believed him, but the arm of the Lord. He doesn't say, but I believe he's on the right arm. I believe the thief is on the right hand, the right arm. All of a sudden, he turned to him, the Lord, this Lord of glory, turned to him and revealed himself to him. And you know that old thief? He said, Lord, remember me. He died with those fellas. Made his grave with the wicked. They called him an evil man. And he made his grave with two evil men. One of them he made holy. And with the rich in his death, the Son of Man didn't have where to lay his head. Foxes had their holes, birds had their nests, but he didn't have a home. Had one robe, one pair of shoes, and
he's buried in a borrowed tomb. He didn't really need it long anyway.
The borrowed tomb, a rich man, loaned this tomb to him out where no man had ever laid. And they buried him in this borrowed tomb. He'd done no violence, though. Neither was any deceit in his mouth. Oh, my. Violence was done to him, but he'd done no violence. No deceit in his mouth, but all the deceit and the lies told against him. But you know what, Mr. Unit? You know who did this. You know, wicked men took and crucified Jesus of Nazareth, who's the Lord of glory. They did exactly what they wanted to do. But you know who really did this? That's what I've been saying all along. God did this. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. God put him to grief. Why? Because that was me. He was taking my place. It's God's who's been offended. God's going to have to be satisfied. Somebody's going to have to please God. Somebody's going to have to appease God. And please the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. He made his soul an offering for sin. When he was hanging on that cross, he cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? What he did was God was putting his soul through hell. God forsook him. Because that's exactly what God's going to do to every unbeliever in this world. He's going to turn his back on. That's where hell is. That's where God is not.
and it's eternal misery. And turn his back on them. It pleased the Lord to make his soul an offering for sin. But bless God, he shall see his seed. Because God saw his Son crucified, God sees me as his seed,
as his Son. Because God killed his only Son,
he now makes me his Son, you see. He can now accept me
in the Beloved,
in his only begotten, well-beloved Son. He's going to see his seed. You know, Christ was as my mother. He was like my mother in travail. Look at it. You'll see his seed. He travailed, verse 11. Christ was giving birth to a people there by his blood. His seed, they're called. And he shall prolong his days. He died. They took his body down from the grave, or from the cross, and put it in a grave. And he laid there 3 days. Say he would. Scripture said he would.
Jonah, you ever read Jonah, Mr. Kenneth? That's what that book's all about. And Genesis, and Exodus, and a lot of movies.
That's what Jonas is about. Christ kept saying that. As Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and 3 nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth.
But he's not going to stay there.
If he'd just stayed there, Mr. Eunuch, he's just a man. If we can find those bones of Jesus of Nazareth anywhere in Jerusalem, anywhere, then he was just a man.
But they never found any bones.
And they never will. Because over 400 people saw him alive at one time. He came out of the grave. Ah, he prolonged his days. How long did he prolong them? Well, the end of his government, there'll be no end. If you want to read that, it's over in chapter 9 of Isaiah. You can read that later on. It's all about him. Isaiah wrote about him all the way through. Well, he prolonged his days in the pleasure of the Lord. You see, it pleased the Lord to make people like me and maybe you, I don't know, his people. Old, rotten, no good sinners. It pleased the Lord to make sons of Adam like us, no good worms, into his sons. It pleased the Lord. The only way he could do that is through the Lord Jesus Christ doing what he did. And he got, Mr. Eunuch, bless God, he prospered. The pleasure of the Lord, what the Lord had purposed to do, Jesus Christ did it. The Lord put it all into his hand, my salvation, and bless God, he prospered. He did. He saw the travail of his soul. And God satisfied. That's the reason hell is forever, because God's not satisfied with the punishment of human beings. It's not good enough. Sinned against an infinite God. But when Jesus Christ went through hell for me, it's enough. God said, I'm satisfied. It's done. He's satisfied. And by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. You see, Mr. Eunuch, it's not so much me knowing him. I now know him and believe him. But my salvation started when he knew me. When he foreknew me. When he set his love on me. And decided to make me his bride. Though I was a harlot, he decided to marry me. And salvation not by us knowing how to keep God's law. I tell you, we don't know God's law. Ask the Apostle Paul. Well, Paul wasn't around yet, but ask Peter and the rest of them. They'll tell you, you're keeping the law. But by his knowledge, now he knew the law. Jesus Christ knew the law. God's Son knew the law perfectly. Every jot and tittle of it. And he said he kept it all. He said, if I just come to him and believe him and trust him that he's kept it all, that God would accept me. Well, I believe. Well, he said, then you're justified from all things that are written in the book of the law against us, for which you cannot be justified by the law. He bore my iniquity. Verse 12. And God said, because he did this, God said, I'll divide him a portion with the great. God gave him a name. He is right now, Mr. Eunuch, he is right now seated on the throne of the majesty on high, reigning and ruling. He's looking on us right now. This Jesus of Nazareth.
He's not Jesus anymore. Not just Jesus.
He's the Lord Jesus Christ. City King of kings and Lord of lords. Sitting on the throne of glory. The keys of hell and death is now. But he'll take
everybody coming to him.
Took me. And God's given him a name which is above every name. It's the name of Jesus. Every knee bowed, every tongue confesses he's Lord to the glory of God the Father. And he divides the spoil. Oh, the unsearchable riches of Christ. He divides it all for those who believe. Oh, I hadn't seen, you hadn't heard, neither have entered into the heart of things. The man, the things that God had prepared for them that love his Son. God gives it all through. He that delivered up his Son. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not?
Because Christ did it. Because of everything Christ did. Mr. Eunuch, my salvation and yours, if you believe this report, if you have now the arm of the Lord, the salvation of the Lord, the glory of the Lord, the Son of God revealed to your heart right now, Mr. Eunuch,
you know and believe that your salvation is 100% because of Him. Because he did it, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And right now he's bearing, he bore the sin of many, not all, but all of his people, bore it all away. And he's right now ever living to make intercession for transgressors. See, I'm still a sinner. You think, Mr. Eunuch, because that I'm a deacon, that I'm without sin? Oh, no. Nothing could be farther from the truth. I'm the chief of sinners. I don't feel like I'm any different than I was when the gospel was revealed to me. But I believe. I'm still a sinner, and I'll never be anything but a sinner. Neither will you. But bless God, I believe, and he said, now you're justified. Turn back to Acts 8. Acts chapter 8. And so, in Christ, this is something else that Christ told us. Right before he went back to glory, Mr. Eunuch, he said, go into all the world and preach this gospel. There's not but one gospel, and it's the gospel of God's Son. It's all that I've been preaching to you. And he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not, and it's ashamed to be baptized and confess him. Doesn't believe, won't confess him. God won't confess them either. See, Mr. Eunuch, Christ gave us this ordinance of baptism and the Lord's table. I'll tell you about that later. But the Lord, baptism is, all it is a symbol that you believe what Jesus Christ did. Like in baptism. You remember Noah in the ark going down into water? Peter will tell you about that. But baptism is someone saying, I believe Jesus Christ, when he came, he lived for me. And you go down under the water, you die and you're buried. Christ was, he took me, he put me, my sins and me, just out of sight, out of God's sight, dead. I'm dead. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I'm raised by his power to walk in newness of life. That's what baptism is. Confessing before everybody. It's public. You get in a river. You get in a lake. You get in a pool. You get wherever there's water.
and you be baptized before the world, saying that I believe that Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I'm a sinner, a no good sinner, but I believe He's the same, and I need Him. I confess it. Mr. Unit, that's what you do. Well, verse 36. They went on their way. They came to certain water, and the eunuch said, "Wait, stop!" I don't know where they were. They saw some water, a bunch of water, and said, "Here's water." The eunuch said, "Here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Is there any reason why you can't baptize me right now? I know I'm a eunuch. I don't know much. All I know is what you just told me. You said believe and be baptized. Here's water right here. Can you baptize me right now?" Philip said, "Well, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." Yeah, I can baptize you right now. If you believe with all your heart, believe what? The record. The record concerning God's Son. Not believe, well, you got to believe you're the worst sinner. Ain't nobody ever. They don't know. You don't know. You'll never be the worst sinner. Well, you got to believe, but you got to feel like it. No, that's not what he said. You got to really feel like doing it. That's not what he said, did he? If you believe with all your heart, believe what? The record. What record? What I just said. Who Jesus Christ is, with all your heart. He's the Christ. I'm a no good sinner. He's got salvation. I need it. He has it to give and gives it to all that believes Him. What did the eunuch do? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Philip said, "Stop cheering. What'd you say?" "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Stop the chair. Stop the service. And they went down into water. And he baptized them. It says when they came out of the water, preacher left. Well, the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. Went on his way rejoicing. What doth hinder you to be baptized? The eunuch didn't go home and change clothes, did he? Philip didn't say, "Well, if you really do you believe with all your heart?" Here's water. We got water. Never done this before. There's water. Do you believe? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Christ said, let me tell you something. He said, "Believe me and you'll see the glory of God." Believe Him? You believe Him? I think I do. I hope I do. Yeah, I do. He'll show you more glory. How much did...
Believer, you older believer, how much did you know of Christ? You feel like you don't hardly know Him at all now?
How bad a sinner were you? How bad are you? Have you gotten any better, Henry? Do you feel better about yourself now? Never will. Do you believe Jesus is the Christ? Son of God? Your only hope? Huh? Here's water. And I'll baptize anybody that comes this morning. All right, Brother Joe, you come. 327. 127. 127.